Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Get inspiration, innovation and insight at MADE, the Entrepreneur Festival. Join us at MADE Festival to be educated and inspired by a jam-packed day of business success. Hear from JB Gill, farmer, entrepreneur and former member of boy band JLS, Annabelle Carmel, cookery author and entrepreneur, Joe McEwen, head of digital at Innocent Drinks and many more. This year we blend inspirational success stories with business skills training, customer service, sales, marketing and social media, all designed to help you win more customers and increase profit. MADE, the Entrepreneur Festival, 22nd of October, Sheffield City Hall. Visit madefestival.com for more information.
Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. If your business has financial challenges requiring professional insight and solutions, Begbies Trainer can help. We provide advice designed to help people and companies deal successfully with debt and financial problems. And wherever possible, we will find the best solution that allows for active steps towards financial recovery. Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. We're committed to providing a rapid and responsive service based on in-depth experience, professionalism and independent specialist expertise. Contact our Sheffield office on 0114 285 9500 or visit begbies-trainergroup.com.
Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield. Made by you.
We're open for business live.
Good morning. It's just after 9 o'clock on Friday, the 2nd of October 2015. My name is Jamie Veitch. I'm your presenter for the next hour for Sheffield Live's business and social enterprise programme, Business Live. We're broadcasting on 93.2 FM and through our internet live stream. And in today's show, we'll be talking with Caroline Woofenden of MKPR about crisis and reputation management. We'll also hear from Penny Raven and Louis Reed with an update about last week's Sheffield Soup, and from Chris Mayle discussing his new music-focused social enterprise. Today's show will also be available as a podcast later from the Sheffield Live website, sheffieldlive.org. And talking about podcasts, if you missed last week's programme, which featured Social Enterprise UK discussing the state of the social enterprise sector, plus a forthcoming event where businesses pit their skills in terms of stand-up comedy, all in aid of charity, and a Sheffield digital marketing agency on investment readiness. You can catch last week's programme featuring all of that on the podcast section of the Sheffield Live website. Go to sheffieldlive.org, find radio shows, Business Live, and you'll find the podcast from last week. But back to this week, Caroline Woofenden coming up, Crisis Management, Reputation Management, Penny Raven and Louis Reed on Sheffield Soup, and Chris Mayle on his new music-focused social enterprise. It's a packed programme. It was put together earlier this week as a pre-recorded programme. And before we turn to our interviews, here's a quick roundup of what's going on in business and social enterprise. Local leaders here in Sheffield have reacted to the latest news about Midland Mainline, with the Sheffield City Region Local Enterprise Partnership cautiously welcoming the government's decision to restart electrification work on the Midland Mainline from London to Sheffield. The work was temporarily paused by Network Rail in June this year. It's now going to be delivered 4 years later than was originally planned. Stephen Houghton, who's the chair of the Sheffield City Region Combined Authority, said it's good news that Network Rail will restart electrification work on the Midland Main Line, but said he's extremely disappointed that it will now take a further 4 years to complete. He urged the government to revisit this decision and look for ways in which the programme could be sped up. The FSB, the Federation for Small Businesses, has welcomed what it described as emerging cross-party consensus to help the self-employed. Commenting on the speech by Labour Party leader Jeremy Corbyn at the party's conference in Brighton, Gordon Millward, who's the regional chairman for the Federation for Small Businesses, said that the Labour Party, which says it's looking for a positive partnership with businesses, he said FSB's members will be looking for more clarity from Corbyn and his team on his plans for small firms and looks forward to working with them to develop these ideas. He also said that the FSB welcomes this focus on supporting the self-employed in this country, and that improving maternity and paternity pay for the self-employed will be a positive step towards recognising their increasingly important contribution to the economy, while extending sick pay to the self-employed will provide many with a welcome safety net. The names of over 60 social purpose businesses have been revealed as the global B Corp movement launched its founding members in the UK. Businesses such as The Big Issue, Charity Bank, Bateswell's Braithwaite, and many others are on the list, joining global names such as Hootsuite, Kickstarter, Ben & Jerry's, and Patagonia. The B Corp community is a global movement of more than 1,400 businesses in over 40 countries, and the movement is committed to using business as a force for good. B Corps are required to change their legal documents so that employees, communities and the wider environment rank alongside shareholders in decision-making processes. They make a formal commitment to the B Corp community principles by signing a declaration. And between them, the UK-based B Corps have combined revenues of over £400 million and over 3,000 employees. The launch of B Corps in the UK represents the biggest initial community of B Corps yet seen globally. Begbiz Trainer, which sponsors this programme, has been across the news this week. They're a recovery and property services consultancy, and they've acquired their Yorkshire rival, the P&A Partnership Limited, out of administration for about £860,000 in a pre-pack administration deal. P&A was founded in 1875 and became a significant regional provider of business recovery and insolvency services, but have been acquired after they themselves, P&A, ran into trouble. Begbiz Trainer, who've acquired them, will take on 36 former P&A staff, including three former directors, to combine with their existing team of 47 professionals in Yorkshire. And Sheffield tops the table for jobless benefit claimants starting a business with the help of a government scheme. Some 1,140 businesses have been set up since the new enterprise allowance scheme was launched in April 2011. The new enterprise allowance scheme gives startups a weekly grant and a business mentor. And DWP said that over 73,000 new startups have been created through the scheme. Don't forget, this year's Social Saturday takes place on the 10th of October, following the success of last year's inaugural event. It's organised by Social Enterprise UK. They say they anticipate it will be a testament to the strength and the influence of the social enterprise movement. Its aim is to raise awareness of how easy it is to support businesses that trade quality items and quality services, but that invest their profits into projects supporting the local community, international development, the environment, charities and other progressive schemes. You can find out more about Social Saturday at socialsaturday.org.uk. And also, don't forget, MADE, the Entrepreneur Festival, takes place in Sheffield on the 22nd of October. And of course, you can find out more at the MADE Festival website. And the Sheffield Business Awards are now open for business. You can enter if you think your business should win or be recognised. The Sheffield Business Awards will take place on Thursday, the 3rd of December. There are 14 categories this year, so take a look at sheffieldbusinessawards.org.uk. This year's event is the 14th Sheffield Business Awards. It should attract more than 700 people to the event and will reach thousands in terms of reading about it too. All winners as well will also go forward to next year's City Region Awards. So if you want to find out more, if you want to enter, then take a look at the Sheffield Business Awards website, sheffieldbusinessawards.org.uk. Now, as ever, remember, you can get in touch with this programme if you want to make a comment, if you want to put yourself forward or put someone forward to be interviewed on the programme, if you have a suggestion for what we should cover, please get in touch. You can email us, email jamie@sheffieldlive.org, text 07904 272 200, find us at Sheffield Live on Twitter, or find me at Jamie Veitch on Twitter too. And whether you're running your own business or social enterprise, or thinking of starting one, or whether you're self-employed, or if you're an employer, we're keen to hear from you. So let's turn now to our first guest of today. And we've been hearing an awful lot in the news this week about the reputation of a certain car manufacturer, Volkswagen and the VAG Group, because of announcements about emissions tests and so-called devices that that prevent emissions being recorded properly. Now, this has made an enormous impact on their reputation, and many people will have changed their perception of the group. Now, I caught up earlier this week with Caroline Woofenden of MKPR to talk about reputation management, not only in the context of when an organisation has done something wrong and is being vilified for it, but also to talk about when an organisation has not done something that many might describe perhaps as fraudulent or willfully awful, but when an organisation has found itself in the centre of a problem, or even is being incorrectly vilified. So from an organisation being correctly identified as having made a problem through to other instances when an organisation isn't necessarily wrong but is being accused of it. And I wanted to ask Caroline about principles and best practices in terms of managing your reputation, managing crisis management. So we'll hear from Caroline now. So hello, Caroline. Thanks very much for joining me today.
Morning, Jamie.
Morning. And we're talking about reputation management and crisis management. And specifically, I want to ask you to cover two areas. First of all, if an organisation has done something wrong and all has been revealed, now what should they do?
A hands-up approach. We live in a day and age whereby it is very hard to get away with anything. I think most companies try not to work in that vein, but nevertheless, there are times when things don't go according to plan, when perhaps one member of the team takes a decision that's not necessarily corporate protocol, etc. Things do happen, but it is important when that does happen to put the hands up and say, hey, in the words of the chief executive of Volkswagen last week, we screwed up.
Indeed. And so, first of all, admit that you've made a mistake. Absolutely crucial.
Yeah, I think that very much helps, or it certainly is the first step, the road of helping to rebuild that trust and that all-important integrity around a brand, whether you're a household name or a fresh starter. As I say, we live in a very transparent world with the advent of social media, etc., and it's very hard to hide behind any form of cloak of anonymity that perhaps we once had when things weren't quite so open and transparent. People do accept that things don't always go according to plan, but when things do go wrong, it is crucial to put the hands up and admit that things have gone wrong and immediately take steps to investigate, find out further if needed, and to act. I think Volkswagen absolutely did the right thing to immediately make accountable the chief executive, and he left his position.
Indeed.
They immediately showed accountability there and immediately indicated that they were taking this very seriously. They were starting an investigation. They were going to expose what they needed to expose, and they were acting quickly, and that they weren't dilly-dallying about. Time will tell as to what else is behind this. It's still too early to say how much damage this whole affair has had to the Volkswagen
quite,
reputation.
Yes.
But I think they so far have acted as best as they possibly could do, given the circumstances around the last week.
Yes, yes, indeed. So first of all, it is a case of take responsibility, say, yes, we've made a mistake. Secondly, accountability. And then thirdly, be very clear that you are taking steps and action to address and put things right.
Absolutely.
That sort of process. Now, of course, one might say that this is purely a theoretical situation, but it may well be that there are other car makers who may well adopt similar practices, and they may well be somewhat nervous about whether they're going to be uncovered too. Now, as I say, it's a hypothetical situation, but if there are car makers out there who are in that position, would it be best for them to take steps now and say, hey, we've been doing the same as VW, or would it be best for them to wait until they're uncovered too?
Well, I think from a PR point of view, Jamie, it's absolutely crucial that they now put hands up. It is no good waiting for a whistleblower or no good at this stage waiting for what is, in my mind, a ticking bomb, if indeed there are other car manufacturers implicated with this scandal. I think it's a matter of when rather than if others are exposed. So my recommendation and advice to any clients in this situation that I would represent would immediately now act to put their hands up, openly address the issue that they have, like Volkswagen, and ensure that somebody is made accountable for this, whether that is to do with a statement, an explanation, possibly even a resignation, whatever it might be, to immediately launch an investigation to weed out the issues or those responsible regarding the situation, and to act quickly to try and safeguard as best as possible the tarnish to the trust and indeed the culture of the brand.
Quite, yes, okay, and that's absolutely vital, indeed, okay. And moving on then from that, Caroline, I want to ask again. I suppose it's a theoretical question, but can you imagine a situation where a client of yours has been revealed to do something so heinous that you would say, look, we can't help you. We can't help you with your reputation on this. I mean, I suppose, you know, if we're into the realms of imagination, we can all imagine awful things. But does this happen? Does this happen to PR professionals? Do they sometimes walk away?
Yeah, well, they certainly do. I mean, the first rule that I've got is I work with people that I want to work with.
Yes.
We're very discerning about the clients that we take on board. And the relationship that I have with anyone I represent, company or individuals, is a relationship very much built on trust. And so I would like to think that any of the clients that I'm working for are certainly not... don't have issues that they're hiding from me.
Second
question, having signed contracts, etc., is right. I need to know what's and all everything that's going on with your company, because there is a potential that on, you know, that Friday night at 5 o'clock, when everyone is just cocking off and you're probably out of phone reception in the middle of the countryside somewhere, I will get a call from a newspaper wanting a statement on something, and I need to make sure that I'm aware of it before being given 15 minutes to draft a statement of response.
Yes.
So, firstly, PRs really should be discerning about who they work for. That relationship is all built on trust. Secondly, when you do start a relationship, it's important to have a very candid conversation so that you fully understand everything that you're dealing with, because you have a PR on the North Face and you know, being forewarned is being forearmed, they say.
Great.
Thirdly, I'm very happy to say I haven't ever had to walk away from a client, but I have had to deal with stressful situations. But because of that strong trust, and because I have usually had some form of heads up about the situation before it's actually smashed into the public arena, we've been able to work towards it as best we can. And if there is
if there have ever been any issues regarding integrity of the company's brand or the person, I have always, and the clients absolutely have always taken the advice to put the hands up and deal with it.
Yes.
And that usually is the best way of dealing with things, or certainly minimising the risk around the issue concerned.
Quite. Okay, super. So that's first of all about only working for clients whose values align with your own. You're very happy to work with. You believe in their values and their integrity. Secondly, about your due diligence, actually making sure that you're prepared and anticipate any potential problems that might arise from the area in which the client works.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right, Jamie. And in fact, you can have CEOs can have great amounts of fun actually developing crisis communication documents. I worked at Tesco for 6 years as UK communications manager there, and every 6 months or so, the press comms team would take a day to scenario plan.
Yes.
And that would really be going through all sorts of hypothetical scenarios, from a bomb landing and there being no food available for whatever, through to all sorts of situations, so that when something does come up, you might have some form of crib sheet from which to work. In fact, I was on press duty the weekend that the bird flu scenario.
Right.
Those old enough to remember that was when the bird flu had infected some of the supply chains from one of the turkey farms. And one of the scenarios that we'd done years before had been to do with there being an issue within the supply chain, which at the time, with all the chain of custodies and all the supply regulations, was hard to believe, but it happened. And therefore, you were able to pull on some notes, thoughts, rough statements from which to work. And when you're in the thick of it, and you've got pretty much the world news on your doorstep,
yes,
wanting to ascertain what you were doing and how you were doing it, it's good to have some of those security blankets. Solid communication and understanding, how the company roughly is going to respond is always good to ascertain before you're actually in the middle of it, to understand who is going to act, who the court spokesperson is, and who are the team behind them. Within 15 minutes of hearing that we were in this crisis scenario, we had galvanised the right team to work on it in line with the protocols that we've drawn up that have been sat in everybody's top drawer for the last 3 years. But it's very important to do that relevant planning, to think through any possible scenario so that you do have some form of template, if you like, another state, some form of crib sheet from which to act from when the time strikes.
So this is absolutely vital. Do your preparation and scenario plan, and then think about who's going to be the key spokesperson, stakeholder for a different issue, for different issues depending on what comes up. And even prepare them to deal with the questions that you might anticipate. So lots of businesses might be involved in complicated or complex areas of business. So we're talking here really now about businesses where they haven't done anything that they're necessarily culpable. They haven't been misleading or the public or being fraudulent in a way that some businesses have been accused of. But this is simply a business that suffers a disaster, a setback, which is a crisis, and it needs to be managed. It needs to be planned, and it needs to be it needs to be proactively tackled. They need to then show the public that they are doing that, so that they can maintain and regain, if necessary, trust. So great advice there, Caroline. Thank you. I just want to finish then. If an organisation, a business or a different type of organisation is being subjected to hostile press or other public criticism that is perhaps unfounded, completely incorrect, wrong, but it's still affecting their reputation, how should they deal with that?
In terms of traditional media, there are obviously rules and regulations surrounding the fact that journalists have to ensure that whatever they print or whatever they broadcast is backed up and comes from reliable sources. I mean, you know more about that than me, Jamie.
Yep.
So you can't have you know, press talking willy-nilly about a company without there being some factual situation behind that, which has to be So if there is information out there in the public arena, chances are it has been investigated from traditional media I'm talking about.
Yes.
And the company, therefore, my advice is, whether it's right or wrong, it's come from somewhere, and therefore a proper professional response is required to either clarify or shut down what the accusations are. That said, as I say, you know, you won't have reports in going to press without being given the opportunity to respond and talk. So I doubt very many companies have found themselves waking up one morning and sort of reading a headline that they're absolutely gobstruck about.
No.
Citizen journalism, though, aka social media, is quite different. That is when you do get sort of emotional reactions, people's views and opinions, rather than actual factual editorial reporting on a scenario. I think the best way to deal with that is not necessarily to police directly, because I think the nature of social media is, as it says, it should be the corpus. Shouldn't veto or delete or necessarily immediately go back themselves, but let the stakeholders, their customers, their viewers, whoever it might be, actually talk on their behalf. For example, one person's view on a particular restaurant that they may visit might be one that they had a poor meal and poor service. Well, it's how much the time, effort and resource that restaurant and that restaurant's PR spend chasing every single tweet or every single Facebook update or whatever it might be along those lines, or simply to allow citizen journalism to play out and allow somebody who perhaps has had a good experience to say just that. Those restaurants who are appalling, and therefore every update they get on social media is one that is a terrible restaurant, won't survive very long.
No,
and,
quite.
Can't it? Social media is, you know, the nature of social media. If, however, a company does find that they have been, something has been written about them or said about them that is absolutely incorrect, then of course, you know, it's libel or slanderous, and in which case that particular broadcaster or newspaper is taken to court, and the publications and then the news on that will carry through. And there have been a few examples of that over the time. But
indeed, indeed. And libel insurance has become more and more expensive for publishers these days, so they're very keen to avoid claims. But,
well, absolutely. Yeah. Any editor, I think, would make triple-check anything, I'm sure, in this day and age.
Yeah. OK. Well, that's all been very helpful, Caroline. Thanks ever so much for joining me today. And, of course, people can find out more about you and about the service that MKPR can offer at the website, which I'll let you give out the address, if I may.
Yeah, well, thanks very much. www.mkhappen.co.uk.
Super. Caroline Woofenden, MKPR, thanks ever so much.
Thanks, Jamie.
We're open for business live.
Inspiration, innovation and insight at MADE, the Entrepreneur Festival. Join us at MADE Festival to be educated and inspired by a jam-packed day of business success. Hear from JB Gill, farmer, entrepreneur and former member of boy band JLS, Annabelle Carmel, cookery author and entrepreneur, Joe McEwen, head of digital at Innocent Drinks and many more. This year we blend inspirational success stories with business skills training, customer service, sales, marketing and social media, all designed to help you win more customers and increase profit. Made, the Entrepreneur Festival, 22nd of October, Sheffield City Hall. Visit madefestival.com for more information.
Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. If your business has financial challenges requiring professional insights and solutions, Begbies Trainer can help. We provide advice designed to help people and companies deal successfully with debt and financial problems. And wherever possible, we will find the best solution that allows for active steps towards financial recovery. Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. We're committed to providing a rapid and responsive service based on in-depth experience, professionalism and independent specialist expertise. Contact our Sheffield office on 0114 285 9500 or visit begbies-trainergroup.com.
Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield. Made by you.
We're open for business live.
You're listening to Business Live on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org across Sheffield and the world. My name's Jamie Veitch. Business Live is Sheffield Live's business and social enterprise programme, broadcasting every Friday from 9am to 10am and, of course, available as a podcast later from the Sheffield Live website, sheffieldlive.org. Before the ad break, you heard an interview with Caroline Woofenden of MKPR. Caroline was talking about crisis and reputation management. Now, next up on today's programme, last night on the 1st of October, I went along to the Sheffield Social Enterprise Social, which took place at Union Street. And whilst there, I bumped into Penny Raven and Louis Reed. Now, regular listeners to this programme will have heard all about Sheffield Soup. We've heard from Penny Raven on the programme in the past. Sheffield Soup is a real-time crowdfunding event in which four businesses or community ideas or social enterprises pitch to an audience, and the audience pay to attend the event. The money then raised from the audience attending is given to the pitch that gets the most votes from the audience on the night. Now, the latest instalment of Sheffield Soup took place last week on the 23rd of September. So when I caught up with Penny and Lewis yesterday, I asked them who won. We'll hear from Penny and Louis now. So we've talked about Sheffield Soup on this programme many times in the past. Sheffield Soup took place again last week on the 23rd of September. Penny Raven, thanks very much for coming back on the programme to talk about Sheffield Soup. And Louis, thank you too for joining me. You're one of the judges. So first of all, Penny, tell me about the winner this time.
The winner this time was they're actually a group of musicians that are supported by a charity called Under the Stars. Under the Stars provide music and support and therapy for people with learning disabilities. And the band had a dream, and their dream was maybe one day they could have an album produced, their very own music album. And the amazing people of Sheffield have made their dream come true. So we've got a very happy band. Watch out for their album, The Clubland Detectives.
Fantastic, The Clubland Detectives. Watch out for that. And people of Sheffield made it come true, because how Sheffield Soup works is it's democratic, real-time community crowdfunding, to coin a phrase, if you like, because the audience on the night get four pitches and then they vote, and all the entrance money from Sheffield Soup goes to the winner. But to get to those four pitches is a bit of a judging process, because there are lots more applications and then judges decide on the four pitches going forward. Louis, you were one of the judges this time around. Yep. What was the process like judging?
Well, I mean, I think we have a really open process, and, you know, I voted for, I judged that the shortlist would be Under the Stars project. I've heard of them before, I love the work they do. I've got personal experience with people in my family with learning difficulties, so I thought it was a fantastic project, and I really hope they can make a great album. But seeing what else is going on in Sheffield at the same time, and some fantastic projects that are are going on here. So.
And that's sometimes a difficulty with judging. You've got a short list down to say four, and there's lots going on.
Yeah, it's subjective, but you know, you've just got to be honest and sort of personal about it and see what affects you. I think. I mean, that's the immediacy of the crowdfunding thing is like, you know, you've got to have a personal investment in it, and I think that. That's what it's all about, it seems to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And then on the night, there's a real buzz. Everyone's really behind all of the people pitching.
Yeah, the networking and the support is incredible. So right from the shortlisting judging process, we encourage people not to be dragons, but to measure with their heart.
Yeah.
If they would love to see this go on in Sheffield, there's enough people out there evaluating whether something's got longevity or going to create employment. If it does do that, great. But do you know what? Let's just give some birth to some things that may not have otherwise had the opportunity. The crowd are also directed to do that as well. So they ask great questions of the pitchers. They really, really chat amongst... Like, the atmosphere is incredible. 108 people positively engaged makes for an amazing, amazing vibe of the place. Incredible. And food show. Someone turned up with like 10 pizzas so they could take the 1 minute pitch to do their own come and have a look at my business or my event thing, which was awesome.
Fantastic. So great atmosphere, enjoyable night out as well.
Fantastic. Yeah, I mean, the last one before that, Sheffield Soup, we brought colleagues from France, Spain, Italy and Greece, and they were really inspired, I think, to perhaps take the format, you know, to their countries. And you know, and they loved having a part of Sheffield social impact as well, I think.
Yeah, and the impact it makes is great. So Louis, in the day job, what are you involved in?
We're a youth organisation. We do youth mobility projects, taking people to different European countries on projects and trainings. We also bring European young people to Sheffield. And we also do different projects in Sheffield. We run the Lead the Change programme, which is a funding by Unlimited, which is to test trade social entrepreneurial ideas and ventures.
So loads going on there. If people want to hear more about what you do, then can they look you up online?
Yeah, we're www.youthdiscoveryventures.co.uk.
Superb. Okay. Are you on Twitter or Facebook as well?
Yeah, at Youth Discovery at Twitter and Facebook, Youth Discovery Ventures.
Brilliant.
Cheers.
Nice one. And Penny, people can find out about the next Sheffield Soup.
On our website, which is www.sheffieldsoup.com, or they can follow us on Twitter, Chef Soup, see what we did there, but SHEFF.
Nice.
And on Facebook, we are Facebook.com/Sheffield Soup.
Lovely. And next Sheffield Soup, date?
25th of November. And applications to pitch open on Friday next week, which is about the 7th, 8th?
Yes, you're right. Friday
Something.
The 9th. Yes.
The 9th, that's
Superb.
It.
Superb. Lovely. Penny, Louis, thanks a lot. Cheers.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield. Made by you.
Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. If your business has financial challenges requiring professional insight and solutions, Begbies Trainer can help. We provide advice designed to help people and companies deal successfully with debt and financial problems. And wherever possible, we will find the best solution that allows for active steps towards financial recovery. Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. We're committed to providing a rapid and responsive service based on in-depth experience, professionalism and independent specialist expertise. Contact our Sheffield office on 0114 285 9500 or visit begbies-trainergroup.com.
We're open for business live.
This is Sheffield Live 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org. Business Live, Sheffield Live's business and social enterprise programme, broadcasts every Friday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. with me, Jamie Veitch. And you've just heard an interview with Penny Raven and Louis Reed talking about Sheffield Soup. Now, next week there's going to be a night to remember as Sheffield's Big Swing birthday party takes place. Some of the finest musicians, not only from Sheffield, but across the region, will be teaming up to celebrate the 4th anniversary of the Big Swing. The event is run by Tim Walker. He made his name with Sheffield's Junglists Alliance, and it's become a phenomenon right across the north of England. The fourth birthday party is taking place on Wednesday, the 7th of October, at its Sheffield home, Cubana, in Leopold Square. The event will star the Nicola Farnan Trio and special guests, including Emily West, Jenny Smith, Phil Johnson, Ryan Taylor, and Tessa Smith. And the Big Swing is renowned for attracting some of the best live acts and DJs on the circuit, together with dance classes for beginners and the experienced alike. And it's free. It takes place every Wednesday evening at Cubana. And Tim West commented, "We enjoy the sport of some of the country's finest exponents of swing, and I'm delighted that so many performers are going to be part of our fourth birthday party." He said that they couldn't wish for a better lineup. The event is also being filmed for a future Big Swing video. Take a look at the Big Swing third birthday party video on YouTube. Simply search for the Big Swing third birthday party and go along to the event. It's taking place next week, Wednesday the 7th of October, Cubana, Leopold Square. So talking about music, on Thursday night, the 1st of October, again at the Sheffield Social Enterprise Social, I caught up with Chris Mail, who's just set up a new music-based social enterprise. We're going to hear from Chris in the interview with him now. So we're at the Sheffield Social Enterprise Social on Thursday evening, the night before Business Live is broadcast. I'm here with Chris Mail. Chris, hi, thanks for joining me.
Hello, you're very welcome.
So tell me then about your social enterprise.
So I'm starting a social enterprise called Student Teaching. Now, essentially what we do is we get music students from universities across the UK to travel to local schools in Sheffield and essentially teach music. So we do things like one-to-one instrumental lessons, we do choirs, we do after-school clubs and workshops, and we're getting into stuff like orchestras and classical ensembles.
And what sort of schools are you working in?
So mainly primary schools. We're kind of looking within a few miles radius of the university. We've got bits and bobs going here and there. We're looking to start tuition mainly next half term, so that's when the big launch is. But yeah, we're just setting all up at the moment, ironing out the details.
So setting up a social enterprise is a daunting task, just like setting up any business.
Of course.
Where have you gone to for advice and support so far, and where else might you get help from?
Well, one of the main sources of advice has been the University of Sheffield Enterprise Zone. They've kind of taken me under their wing a bit and, you know, given me really, really useful business coaching sessions, you know, one-to-one sessions. So that's definitely been really helpful in, you know, making sure I'm covering my back in terms of insurance and things like that. A lot of the kind of research for the business was done just on the internet and, you know, talking to people, doing informal kind of surveys and seeing if this is something that people want. And, we had a largely positive response from it. We just kind of took it from there and been building it up slowly.
And you talked about the business is going to get music teachers, music students from universities teaching music in schools and getting ensembles going as well. Whole range of activities. Where's the social angle? What's the social purpose of the organisation going to be?
So essentially our vision is to make... we're looking towards a time when every child can learn music for free. So at the moment, the bottom 40% of children, i.e. the children on free school meals, just can't afford music tuition at its present rates. And we feel there's something that needs to be done about this. So as a result, we're offering lessons for these children at £4 per 20 minutes. So obviously that's a step towards equality in music education. We're trying to go further with that by getting schools to invest their pupil premium. And again, that's something we're working on towards basically allowing every child to be able to learn a musical instrument if they want.
So how does that compare with what those... You said that these are children who otherwise wouldn't be able to afford music tuition. How does this rate compare with what they would otherwise have to pay?
Well, the national average is, off the top of my head, around £38 per hour. And for, well, for our normal lessons, it works out as about £18 per hour, so half the national average. And our discounted lessons, using the Income Support Fund, this is for, you know, children on free school meals, it works out as £12 per hour, again, £4 per 20 minutes. So roughly a third of the national average.
So this then brings accessibility to the world of music teaching. And, of course, there are other benefits as well, apart from the simple joy in terms of learning an instrument. Pupils benefit in plenty of other ways as well.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we are strong believers, and a lot of research has come out recently, in fact, about the kind of benefits music education has to the cognitive development of you know, children and attainment in other subjects such as numeracy and literacy, but also just trying to maintain the amazing musical heritage that England has and making sure that that culture is kind of shown to, you know, our youth, and that we educate them about it and allow them to express themselves and, you know, create new little musicians who are going to grow up to be the new Beatles and whatnot.
So, real social purpose there. In terms of accessibility and then the effect that music, learning music, has on people. Sounds like a fantastic idea, Chris. Wish you all the best with it. You said you're aiming to start next half term. Where will people be able to find out more?
So if you go to our website at www.studentteaching.co.uk, yeah, you can find out all about us on there. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter. We've got various accounts there. And, you know, just to see what we'll be getting on with, I'll be posting photos all about tonight so you can have a look at what it's been like at this social enterprise social. And, yeah, I look forward to hearing from you.
Chris Mayall, thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much, Jamie. It's been a pleasure.
Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield. Made by you. Inspiration, innovation and insight at MADE, the Entrepreneur Festival. Join us at MADE Festival to be educated and inspired by a jam-packed day of business success. Hear from JB Gill, farmer, entrepreneur and former member of boy band JLS, Annabelle Carmel, cookery author and entrepreneur, Joe McEwen, head of digital at Innocent Drinks and many more. This year we blend inspirational success stories with business skills training, customer service, sales, marketing and social media, all designed to help you win more customers and increase profit. MADE, the Entrepreneur Festival, 22nd of October, Sheffield City Hall. Visit madefestival.com for more information.
Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. If your business has financial challenges requiring professional insights and solutions, Begbies Trainer can help. We provide advice designed to help people and companies deal successfully with debt and financial problems. And wherever possible, we will find the best solution that allows for active steps towards financial recovery. Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. We're committed to providing a rapid and responsive service based on in-depth experience, professionalism and independent specialist expertise. Contact our Sheffield office on 0114 285 9500 or visit begbies-trainergroup.com.
Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield. Made by you.
We're open for business live.
You're listening to Business Live on Sheffield Live with me, Jamie Veitch, broadcasting on 93.2 FM and from sheffieldlive.org. In today's programme, we've heard from Caroline Woofenden of MKPR. Caroline's talked with us about crisis and reputation management. We've also discussed Sheffield Soup with Penny Raven and Louis Reed. And we've heard from Chris Mayall about his new social enterprise. So if you've just tuned in and you've missed all that, don't panic, because you can still catch those interviews by listening to the podcast of today's programme, which you can find on the Sheffield Live website at sheffieldlive.org. Just go to shows, find Business Live, and then find today's programme, Friday the 2nd of October. Now, this show will be back next week, Friday the 9th of October, from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. So please tune in then, and thanks for listening today. But don't go away now, because next up on Sheffield Live is our fantastic folk music programme. Thank goodness it's folk. That will be on from 10 a.m. all the way through to noon. But before that, we have a nice treat in store for you, which is a track of music called Pompidou from the album Knee Deep in the North Sea. It's by Portico Quartet, and we'll play that track now.